This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, my God. We challenge Pat Costello to come up with an AI piece of production about burritos, and it closes out with Nuno being ugly. So sweet. So sweet. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
I don't know where HR is, but I'm going to HR later.
Yeah.
We can all agree, right?
We don't call people ugly here. I don't like that. That feels so like mean. Bullying AI.
Yeah, exactly.
Slash
exactly.
Pat.
I mean, no, Pat, Pat. That wasn't funny. I mean, Pat. Yeah. Tune into NBA action tonight as the Clippers host the Nuggets. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, joining us now, she's been a part of the college basketball coverage, the NBA coverage, Knicks broadcast as well. Monica McNutt is a tremendous ESPN analyst, and she joins us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Monica, let's start with this. The women's game has just been awesome recently, and we've been discussing the idea of Caitlin Clark and her impact on it. So I want to ask you the question we've been debating. Is she going to have more impact to help grow the women's college basketball game next year or the WNBA next year?
Ooh. Okay, first of all, before I answer that, there was some poll you guys did, and I was on the list of people to watch games with, so shout out to y'all.
Hey!
Very flattered by that. And then W or college. Ooh, this is tricky. I think it's going to be college. I think. Here's my deal.
Yeah.
At the WNBA level, she's going to have plenty of room for activities in my favorite movie. She's going to have plenty of opportunity to play because she's going to the Indiana Fever. That's a young squad. Aaliyah Boston is the former rookie of the year. They are building, right? Will it translate to winning? That then is the rub. I don't know, because the WNBA trip typically is a league that is led by its veterans. I think there's going to be a curve for Caitlin to hit. Individually and obviously as a team game in terms of defending her position, being defended by these grown women. And so I'm not sure what the draw in terms of a team that probably will not rank up a ton of wins is going to be. And frankly, I don't know that you're going to see some of the same Steph Curry-ness at the same level in the WNBA just because it's different schemes, right? I do know that the Indiana Fever are already thrilled and excited. I believe they've already sold out their season tickets. And
hello.
She's got like a deal with Gainbridge Arena or the Gainbridge Insurance Group that backs the Pacers Arena. So, yeah, keep going. The star keeps going. I think in terms of the college game, there are already, I can name 2, 3, 4, 5 stars following in her footsteps in terms of these women with these dynamic personalities, this excellent game. They play the game the right way. And the fervor around the women's college game has always sort of competed with the W. And so I just think historically there's a little bit of a leg ahead already in the college game, and she has only helped to stoke that fire.
But a big conversation around the women's game has been the economics at the professional ranks, right?
Right.
And we see these huge NIL deals that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and others have had, seven-figure NIL deals. So I'm curious from your perspective how their presence in the W is going to impact the overall finances. Are we going to start seeing more sponsorship dollars come toward the W because of the presence and the star power that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark have already established in the incubator that has been women's college basketball?
Look, Canty, I wasn't trying to get super deep this morning. However, there's a real conversation about the faces of the W when you talk about the societal totem pole, right? That's a league that's largely black women. It's a ton of queer women. There are not as many white women, candidly, right? And I don't want to just boil this thing down to race, but I do think there is some real conversation that has to be had about what marketers want to get behind 100%. And in the vacuum, in terms of individual NIL deals, it's very easy to jump into the college game. It's broader. It's a little bit more diverse. The W is a smaller league. And so the individual deals, I have no doubt, will follow those women. What does that look like in terms of impacting the league at large?
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure. And a lot of it is going to fall on Commissioner Kathy Engelbert in terms of helping this league take the next level. The conversation around travel is something that we always have to feel like true professionals. The other thing that is impacting this is more owners like Mark Davis in Vegas, like the size in with the Liberty, like the new ownership group coming in with the team that's going to be out in Golden State, are investing in their teams in a way that they want marketers that want their women's team because they want their women's team, not slap a badge on the women's team because you got a partnership with the NBA team, right? And so that allows them to build these facilities that are competitive. And so as the athletes' marketing dollar continues to raise and the level of play, there's going to be pressure on these owners to have facilities that are competitive so that you can attract free agents so that your team can compete. And so, yes, the influx of these young women with these big NIL deals, I do think is going to help the W. Will that translate from these individual deals to larger team deals? I'm not 100% sure yet.
Monica, when we saw 12.3 million people tune in to watch Iowa LSU, it wasn't just to see Caitlin Clark. It was to see Angel Reese and LSU.
Absolutely.
We love rivalries in sports. With Angel Reese going to Vogue yesterday,
I
no
love
less,
that, right?
I love it. What a power move to announce that she's also going to the WNBA. How important is it for that growth in so many ways that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and that versus between them is also jumping to the WNBA?
Listen, I love this in theory, but again, like, how much time are they going to get on the floor? Caitlin is going to play. But I think our colleague Michael Vopel, in the projection that he did, had Angel going seven-ish, I believe, to Minnesota. So she goes, like, Minnesota, Cheryl Reeve, like, you helping me win or not? Like, there are some really good fours. That's behind, like, a Nafisa Collier. Adorka Juhas had a great game, great season last year. Diamond Miller was all rookie team. Like, I don't know if... where it's going to be important to see where Angel lands, because are people just going to follow you because they follow you, or do people want to see you playing and making an impact? And I honestly, y'all, don't have an answer to that question just yet, but I love this rivalry. But you know what? Frankly, like, we got a budding rivalry between Vegas and the Liberty, right?
Totally,
like, so
totally.
The idea, I love the enthusiasm that these women have created in the college game, and I certainly hope the eyeballs travel. But y'all, it's already rivals in the W. Like, it gets spicy in the W now. Don't get it twisted. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to see what happens with these young ladies, for sure.
Monica, I want to follow up on that. We're talking with Monica McNutt, who's phenomenal at analyzing basketball, any level, any gender, doesn't matter. She's doing it all for ESPN and played, of course, at Georgetown. If you were advising Angel Reese, let's take the Vogue part out because that was badass. We all know that. That was amazing. If you were advising Angel Reese, with everything that you just said, all of the financials that UNCC just discussed, would you have said to go to the WNBA or to stay back at LSU for one more year?
So, hear me out. I would have advised her to stay, not because of the financials, because to me, she needs to expand her game. And in that Vogue piece, she acknowledged that she's accomplished everything she wanted to accomplish in college, and now she's ready to be at the bottom of the mountaintop, at the bottom of the mountain, so to speak, and work against these grown women. To me, and maybe... the LSU system would not have given her an opportunity to do this. My questions around Angel are, what position are you guarding? To me, she's definitely not going to be a center in the WNBA. She's probably a four, might want to see her skill set develop a little bit to be at that three spot. I don't know that her handle is tight enough to score off of the wing, right? And I don't know that she's quick enough to guard if she has to guard on the wing. And it's going to be a real battle at the four position. Now, what we do know about Angel is that she's tough. She's willing to work. So I think all of those things can come. I personally thought, take one more year, really work on honing your craft, expanding your game a little bit more, and then hit the W. It had nothing to do with the money for me because, like I said, the money's going to follow her.
Monica, I got to switch gears and get over to the NBA.
All right, let's do it.
The embarrassment that is the Milwaukee Bucks. They've lost four of their last five, including back-to-back games against the Wizards and the Grizz, in which they were outscored 146 to 92 in the paint. Can you explain to me what the hell is going on with the Bucks?
So I saw that and was like, ugh. And then look at the standings.
What sound effects for Monica McNutt today?
I mean,
a walking sound effect machine.
You look at the standings, and they're still pretty comfortably sitting in the second spot in the Eastern Conference, right? And so I'm like, all right, Dame Lillard didn't play. Chris Middleton's got injury issues. It's that funny time of year where, like, you're kind of good, don't want to show all your cards. I know.
Are you good, though?
See.
Because your Magic are two games behind, and they play you twice down the stretch.
You are me on my left shoulder. This is me on my right shoulder. I'm with you. These are all the thoughts that are going through my mind. I think for me, simply put, and I know some people will be like, well, the season's almost over now. They have plenty of time. It takes time to gel with a star. It takes time to gel with a new head coach running a new system. And health is wealth, whether you're a basketball player or athlete or not, right? I continue to say it, y'all. 2019 Kawhi Toronto at Water Championship, that is the outlier. Mm-hmm. It is the absolute exception to the rule. And so I think at points we've heard Dame sort of allude to that it maybe took a little bit longer for him and Giannis to gel than maybe they anticipated. If they were teetering between, you know, 6 and 7, then I might be like, I got a real problem. But I think they're still second. So I'm like, all right, they're going to tighten up when they need to. What I will say is if Philadelphia and Joel Embiid gets healthy and they run into them in the first round, would not shock me if that's a wrap.
Or Miami.
And I, you know, I was in Miami Tuesday night.
Or Miami.
The only person that was listed as questionable in Miami on Tuesday night was Tyler Hero. That's like the healthiest they've been in a month of Sundays. And they are certainly looking like Jimmy activated. You know how he turns it up in April. Yeah. Like Miami look like they're trying to do what Miami does. So, yeah.
Terry Rose, too. Just
Terry Rose
that
had
out
a
there.
Great game. That man missed his first three and then knocked down, believe, seven and didn't miss again until the fourth quarter. It was crazy.
Yeah, Monica, speaking of Philadelphia, the fact that Joel Embiid is returning and he's healthy this time of the year, that's not usually the version that the 76ers get of him. So how dangerous do you think they are moving forward?
All right, so again, like not trying to go super deep, but I think what we've seen from Joel is this incredible arc. And yeah, your auntie and them's probably used to say, boy, just keep living.
Yep, that's right? It. Just keep living.
Just keep living, right? I think to your question first, hell yeah. Sixers are absolutely dangerous. But I think we're seeing this arc of Joel Embiid. He got married. He had a son. He's now dealing with injuries. He was pretty candid with our Tim Bontemps, I believe, when he was asked about the toll this most recent injury had. So now he's like fought through depression. Now he's working his way back. Don't nothing make you more grateful about an opportunity than to have it taken away.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So to have gotten to, you know, close to Eastern Conference Finals, and now you add all of these things in his life, his opportunity to grow as a basketball player and as a man, if he can get healthy, I'm with you. I think there's going to be a level of focus from him that we have not seen to this point, and allow that team to gel behind the play of Tyrese Maxey, the coaching of Nick Nurse, and just kind of the gratitude of maybe being back together again and having this opportunity. I would not be surprised if the Sixers shake some things up.
All right, let's finish with this, with Monica McNutt here on ESPN. Of course, tremendous ESPN basketball analyst, and I found a way to work in the Miami Heat and Terry Rozier. I told them I wouldn't do it, but I did. Anyway, you have a choice right now. You could take Celtics, Nuggets, or the field for the finals. The sound effect machine continues here.
I want to take half of that.
No, that's not the question.
Okay, before I answer you, I am guilty of falling in love with the young teams, which is why I am always watching what's going on with Memphis, because I just would love to see them get it together. I think OKC is the real deal.
Ooh.
Mm.
I do have questions about their size in a matchup versus the Nuggets. And so to answer your question, I will take you up on that as the finals matchup over the field, Celtics-Nuggets. But SGA, not even just SGA, Jalen Williams.
Ballin'.
Baby, the truth, okay? Like, I don't know what they're going to do. Shout out to Sam Presti, because they have knocked out their draft time and time again. I think I talked to Bobby Marks when I had an OKC game earlier this season. I think they are like 2 years away from having an issue in terms of being able to keep all of those guys. Jalen Williams, if OKC don't lock him up, it is going to be an absolute bidding war in the league to add that guy to your roster. He is incredible. So I will take you on Nuggets Celtics as it stands right now, but I would be happy to be wrong.
Monica, amazing job. And you'll see her all over the ESPN platform all throughout the day talking hoops. We appreciate it. Coming up, respect it or check it, next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for Respect It or Check It here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Evan Cohen and Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. And guys, let's jump right into this. Respect It or Check It. Stephon Diggs makes the Houston Texans a Super Bowl contender.
I'm going to respect it. If I'm going to put them on the short list of teams that can knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, how can I not say they're a contender? In the AFC, that's the team that you have to beat. That's the bar to clear. And if I think that you are one of three teams, along with the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals, that can contend with the Kansas City Chiefs, then how can I not say that the Steph Diggs makes you a Super Bowl contender? So I'm absolutely on board with this. I think C.J. Stroud is already a top five quarterback in this league, and adding a guy that's had six straight 1,000-yard seasons can only help the cause when it comes to them competing and winning more in the postseason.
I'm going to check it. I already took, I think last week when we did over-unders, I took the Texans on an under because I just assumed the sophomore slump. They've made tons of good moves. I get that. C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans are awesome. I don't think that this move is going to help them get closer to a title. I really don't, so I'm checking it.
Next one, respect it or check it, the Bills, after they lost Stephon Diggs yesterday, their Super Bowl window is closed.
I'm checking it. I actually feel better about the Bills today than I did yesterday. As odd as that sounds, I'm not the biggest believer in Josh Allen, but you know what I am? I'm a believer in ending the debate. Because one way or another, after this season, we cannot debate Josh Allen anymore. We are going to know, is he awesome or is he not awesome? Because this is about doing what's best for him and then believing that not having Steph Diggs is best for him. That's what I think. CC said it all show. It's a referendum on Josh Allen. I'm excited for the debate to be over after this year.
Yeah, exactly. If he's an elite quarterback, then losing your number one receiver should not be to the detriment of your team's opportunity to compete for a championship. Like, you should still be able to win the AFC East. You should still be able to win playoff games. Losing Tyreek Hill didn't mean that Patrick Mahomes and the team took a step back. As a matter of fact, the Chiefs have won back-to-back championships since they made that trade. So if you are an elite quarterback, that means you can be a force multiplier. You can overcome all of the losses that this team has had to deal with, both in the way of trades, but also salary cap casualties over the last couple of years. Think about the players that they're losing this year. Gabe Davis walked in free agency, running back Nyheim Hines, Leonard Floyd, Mitch Morse, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, and Tim Settle and Ryan Bates. Like, that's a lot of veterans that are proven commodities in this league walking out of the door. The thought is, when Josh Allen's cap hit triples from 2023 to 2024, that his game is able to go to a level that allows you to deal with all of the losses that you've had in terms of salary cap casualty. So if he is what everybody says he is, an elite quarterback, if he is what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott think he is, then the Bills shouldn't take a step back in terms of contending for championships.
The NFL just constantly has this churn of spicy storylines, and what Josh Allen is this year without Steph Diggs, throw that one on the pile.
Oh, I forgot about Jordan Poyer, too. Jordan Poyer is now with the Miami Dolphins. That's another guy that they lost this offseason.
Big one. Yeah. Next one, guys, and CeCe, we'll start with you because I know you're going to be passionate about this one. Respect it or check it, this will be Aaron Rodgers' final season with the New York Jets.
Oh, respect it. This is done. It's a wrap. Like, I mean, the only people that don't know it are the guys in Florham Park and the people that root them on in MetLife Stadium. That's it. It's over for Aaron Rodgers. He's not the same quarterback. And here's the thing, guys. Like, I it's not that I don't trust the talent on the Jets team. I just don't trust the leadership and the culture within the organization. And how could you? Aaron Rodgers is the one that's setting it. It's not the general manager. It's not the head coach. It ain't even the owner. It is Aaron Rodgers. And when have we ever known Aaron Rodgers to be a good leader in that regard, in establishing a culture? Think about how it ended at Green Bay. Unceremoniously, in week 18, losing to the Detroit Lions, who had nothing to play for. And then think about what the Green Bay Packers were in their first year without Rodgers.
Should have gone to the Super Bowl.
Think about that. They won a playoff. They smoked the Dallas Cowboys on the road, and they were up in the second half against the San Francisco 49ers. That's where they were. In Jordan Love's first full year as a starter. That speaks volumes about Aaron Rodgers' quote-unquote leadership abilities. And then what happened when Aaron Rodgers got hurt this year? The entire thing went off the rails. Yeah, the defense played well, but the offense was a dumpster fire. And on top of that, you got the head coach wanting to check the cell phones of his assistant coaches because he thinks those guys are behind leaks about Zach Wilson, of all people, not wanting to go back to being a starting quarterback after he was a train wreck in the first half of the season. Where's all of the leadership from Aaron Rodgers in that moment? Where is it? Give me a break.
I'm respecting it. I don't think he's done in the NFL, but I don't think this season will work out for the New York Jets, and I see him next year like Russell Wilson was this year, looking for a team as a veteran, in his case, guaranteed Hall of Famer, Russ, a potential Hall of Famer, and looking for his next stop. third stop along the way.
Who you think somebody's going to want Aaron Rodgers after this?
I think there's a chance somebody would take a flyer on him because it would be cheap. That's my guess. But by the way, that person may be a political candidate that takes a flyer on him, so I don't know. But I think somebody will.
All right, Ev, we'll stick with you. Respect it or check it. The Bucks will get bounced in the first round.
I'm going to check it. I actually think that they are going to end up okay in all of this. I don't think they're going to necessarily get eliminated in the first round. Now, that said, the matchups they could have in the first round are scary for them. They don't play well against Indiana. You potentially could have Joel Embiid in Philly, or you could have your nemesis that you've really struggled with over the course of time in Miami. Not ideal, but I'm going to say that they stay alive and they at least win one round.
Oh, Ev. I mean, they're 1-3 against the Pacers this year? No, 1-4 against the Pacers this year? Ev, whether it's the Pacers, the Heat, or the Sixers, you got a problem.
I
think this is one and done for the Bucks, Smalls.
I picked them yesterday to get bounced.
I think it's one and done. Is it the question, are they going to be one and done?
The question is, will they get bounced in the first round? Yes.
Yeah, respect it. I'm going to respect it. Yeah, I got to respect it. How can you not after what we've seen? You lost back-to-back games to the Wizards and the Grizzlies. First of all, losing to the Wizards in and of itself should be enough of a wake-up call. But you didn't learn from that, and you let 3J, Jaren Jackson Jr., drop 35 on your head when that's the only way the Grizz got a chance to win, including 76 points in the paint? Dog, it's layups and dunks all game long.
Let me ask a quick follow-up on that, Cece. Go ahead. Respect it or check it, if they get, for both of you then, respect it or check it, if they get bounced in the first round, Dame Lillard will be one and done in Milwaukee.
Ooh, I think I'm going to respect it because if you put all that talent together and expectations were so high this year, someone is going to have to catch the blame for that. And I could just see that marriage going sour.
How about the marriage between them and Giannis?
Maybe that one goes sour.
I mean,
too.
Listen, if Milwaukee Bucks fans are faced with the prospect of losing one of their stars, they better hope it's Damian Lillard. They better hope it's not Giannis saying he wants out. Because then you got a big problem. So, I mean, yeah, it's not great right now in Milwaukee. Not great. Adrian Griffin was not the problem. Let me say that again. Adrian Griffin was not the problem. Former head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. They were 30-13 when him was the head coach. I think they're 15-15 with Doc Rivers as the head coach. 15-14, something like that. Just saying.
Coming up, new faces or old faces in new places. I got that backward. How could it be new faces in old places? I guess it could be new faces in old places. That's not what it is. MLB old faces in new places.
But how could it be a new face if it's an old place? Because then you've already been there. So it can't be a new face.
So it would be somebody's second stint with the team.
Yeah, it would be old face, old place.
Yeah.
I'm just old, unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Tyler Glasnow, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto was not the only major move the Dodgers made to improve their starting rotation. Days after signing Shohei Ohtani, Los Angeles acquired right-handed pitcher Tyler Glasnow from the Tampa Bay Rays in a four-player trade. Glasnow, who grew up 30 miles from Dodger Stadium in Santa Clarita, California, was the club's opening day starter in Korea and can be a top-of-the-rotation arm for the Dodgers if he stays healthy. Over his last 16 starts with the Rays in 2023, Glasnow allowed a 255 on-base percentage, top five in the majors over that span. But he's entering his ninth big league season, and the 120 innings he pitched last year were a career high. The Dodgers are banking on him having turned a corner as they traded two talented prospects to acquire Glasnow and gave him a five-year, $136.5 million contract extension to boot. The Dodgers sent right-hander Ryan Pepio and outfielder Johnny DeLuca to Tampa Bay in the deal for Glasnow, but Los Angeles is desperate to win in October. Dodgers showed that by spending over $1 billion to acquire Yamamoto and Ohtani and trading prospects to bring Glasnow to his hometown team. Now they hope those acquisitions can help bring a second World Series title to Chavez Ravine in 5 years.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Old Faces, New Places, brought to us by TaxAct. Tyler Glasnow with the Dodgers so far. Three starts this season, 2-0, 3.18 ERA, 0.88 whip. Walk, hits, innings pitch there. Heck of a start. Dodgers get a home run last night from Shohei Ohtani as well. First home run in a Dodgers uniform. And we round the bases with Michelle Smallman.
Yeah, the Dodgers are good. Yeah, they've acquired a bunch of talent. We get it. All right, guys, let's round the bases. And first things first, I need to get this one out of the way. I need to shout out my hometown, St. Louis, which is why I am wearing the shirt today. It's the home opener in St. Louis, which is a holiday in my town. I don't know if you guys have the same thing with the Mets or the Yankees, if you've ever been to an opening day, a home opener growing up, but there is nothing like it where I'm from. It feels like the Super Bowl. Everybody is downtown. It's like a holiday. Nobody goes to work. Nobody pays attention to work. And it's just a feeling that you can't replicate when there's finally baseball in your city again. And I have major FOMO that I'm not there today to watch Skip Schumacher and the Marlins take on the Cardinals.
Yeah, plus you get to see Lance Lynn in the Cardinals jersey, and you got the slump buster that is the Miami Marlins. So congratulations, a team that hasn't won a game in two regular season series. So yeah, it should be a good day for St. Louis Cardinals fans.
I don't know, CeCe. They're in the basement of the NL Central right now. They're not, you know, they're finding their way, but...
Well, that's better than being winless like the Marlins, isn't it?
Early. Yeah. But I am excited for
games up. They're 3 games up, Smalls, on the Marlins, if you think about that. The Cardinals are 3-4 in last place, and they're still 3 games up on the Marlins, who are 0-7. You asked the question about opening day.
Yeah.
It was a tradition every single year. I was fortunate enough, my grandfather, may he rest in peace, would take me to opening day every single year. And it was always an amazing thing that we would do, where I would meet my grandfather at my other grandparents' house, who lived closer to where Shea Stadium was, and I'd spend half the day with one set of grandparents and the other half the day with the other set of grandparents, and I would go to Shea Stadium for opening day with the Mets every single year. That is what you call lucky in this world.
It really is amazing, though. Evan's team is spending $200 million more than the Miami Marlins, and they have the exact same amount of wins.
That's your takeaway from that story?
You were talking about these memories that you have of baseball. Your team is spending $200 million more in payroll this year.
I'm talking about my grandparents. Don't worry about the Mets payroll.
You have the same amount of wins as the Miami Marlins.
I love that Evan is literally sharing a beautiful memory from his childhood involving his grandparents. And CeCe finds a way to take a jab at the Mets Mets right now.
Spending $200 million more. The Miami Marlins payroll is $96 million. The Mets are spending $307 million.
I don't know. I don't go in other people's pockets and talk about their money, CeCe.
He's a steward of the New York Mets. He's a steward. He's a shepherd of the New York Mets.
He is a shepherd. All right, let's round to second base, but we're going to stay in New York. Are the Yankees back?
Hey, now.
Are the New York Yankees back? 6-1 atop the AL East. They are looking good, CeCe. Do you feel like this is something that they can maintain?
Yeah, I mean, they won the rubber match against the Diamondbacks. That's always good. When you start the season with two series wins, I feel good about it. And then Aaron Judge gets off the snide, a sluggish start, had the home run yesterday. They were able to get the win in extras. I mean, I feel good about where the Yankees are at. It's still a question mark on whether or not the bullpen and the offense are going to be able to sustain a production that allows them to overcome their starting pitching, because they still have a hole at the top of the rotation. We'll see what ends up happening. I feel good about it, but like you said, it's early on, and you can't really trust what you see in April and August in baseball. You just can't. So I'm in wait-and-see mode, but I'm excited that the season got off to a better-than-expected start.
Evan?
I don't care. I hate the Yankees. I look at them right now, and I say that they are better than I anticipated, that Soto is what is all hyped up to be. But I actually have a weird thought with the Yankees now. I actually go glass half empty with the Yankees, where my whole life it was glass half full. Now I just anticipate something going wrong. Like, at some point, the Gerrit Cole injury is going to catch up to them. At some point, Judge is going to get banged up. Like, I actually have a glass-half-empty approach with the Yankees, which is so weird, considering they've won more than any franchise in the history of the sports.
Yeah, but 2009 was a long time ago.
Long time, dog.
So I understand why you would take that new approach to the Yankees. All right, let's go to the hot corner. Let's round to third base. You guys, Mike Trout is still awesome. And no one knows and no one cares. The Angels are 4-2. We mentioned the Marlins. They just swept the Marlins. He's got 3 home runs so far this season. He hit 2 the other night versus a win over the Marlins, including a 743-foot bomb. I swear I'm going to...
How long was it?
473. Excuse me, 473.
If he's playing in Miami, he must have hit it to Broward County.
A little inversion of the numbers there. Yeah, my bad. Okay, 473. Right. Thank you. It might as well have been 743 because it was an absolute rocket. But I swear on my deathbed, I'm going to turn to somebody and say, Mike Trout wasted away with the Angels. It drives me nuts that this guy is still in the MVP conversation. He's still this great, and he's playing for the Angels.
Well, you keep it down, Smalls. He doesn't want you to do this.
He doesn't want me to talk about him?
No, this is national radio and television. Mike Trout doesn't want you talking about him right now. That promotes him and the Angels. How dare you? That's a terrible move by you, Smalls. We can't do that. This is one of the greatest players to ever live. Keep it down. Keep it down if you could.
You're right. That's probably what they want and what he wants. But it just drives me crazy because he's so good. He is such a talented guy. All right, let's bring it on home, guys. Question for both of you. Have we disrespected the Texas Rangers? Whenever we're talking about World Series champions and doing our predictions for this year, it seems like no one is bringing up the defending champs. Yes, I know they have questions with the rotation and they're banking on some young talent to step up this year, but they're right there again, and it feels like no one's giving them the credit that they deserve.
I'll tell you who's disrespected in my mind. It's Bruce Bochy.
Yes.
Apply this to other sports.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay? What do we say about Mike Tomlin? Well, over-under was, 8.5? We all say we're going to take the over because Mike Tomlin never has losing seasons, right? Forever with Belichick or Greg Popovich, who now I guess is in a little different category in terms of the losing, but you get the overall point. Eric Spoelstra with the Heat, like you're always going to figure out, hey, they're going to figure out a way. Why have we not gotten to that place with Bochy, who's taken 3 different teams to the World Series? He's won World Series with 2 different teams. He has, 4 World Series titles all in? Of course we disrespect them, because we should start a preseason in baseball and spring training having conversations about who's going to be good with the, well, obviously Bochy's going to have his team playing in October. Who else is going to be in the mix? And we don't do that.
Fair, but momentum is the next day's starting pitcher in baseball, and outside of Nathan Evallu, how can you feel good about anybody in that Rangers rotation? Like, that is the big question mark, right?
Sure.
Like, that's the one thing that we're wondering about. Now, I'm not saying that you can't add pitching later on this summer at the deadline. There's always going to be teams that fall out of it, and so you'll have the potential to do that. But, I mean, right now, I'm a little skeptical of the Rangers being able to run it back.
But the fact that they're not even really in the conversation, I think, is a little disrespectful.
That's fair.
Still have a lot of talent there.
But what is the health status with some of those pitchers? you know, we're talking about them, you know, potentially adding. They have big time pitching on that roster. They're just not healthy, correct?
Yeah. Three of their big guys, including DeGrom and Scherzer, have injuries that they've been dealing with.
We're talking about, well, Scherzer's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame, and DeGrom may be a Hall of Fame caliber
DeGrom
pitcher.
Oh, DeGrom is awesome, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking about two Hall of Fame caliber pitchers that are waiting to come back at some point. I do not know the health status for both of them, but if they potentially come back, we're not going to ask that question about the Rangers pitching in combination with their manager, in combination with the play of Corey Seager in big spots, as we've seen with multiple franchises now. So, yeah, I mean, I guess to your point, Smalls, at the end, I assume we're going to see the Rangers there again.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hoping that they're still in it by the time those guys get back.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
You're right, though, Evan, about Bruce Bochy. We need to put some more respect on his name.
You're right.
I was thinking about Jim Harbaugh. He goes to the Chargers, who have been a wildly inept organization for a long time. Justin Herbert loses a lot of talent that he would throw to, and we still think, oh, well, Harbaugh's going to get him right. He's going to help Justin Herbert ascend. We do that with a lot of other coaches, and we need to do that with Bruce Bochy as a manager as well.
Well, we do it blindly with some of these coaches. We don't even bring up Bochy as a manager at any given point, and it's not fair. It's not right. This guy has been tremendous during the entirety of his career. I'm looking at his managerial record here and how many times he's had losing seasons. Now, it's happened occasionally. It does happen more in baseball. But, I mean, the amount of successful seasons this guy has had over a long period of time is just remarkable, obviously. And there we go. We round the bases with Michelle Smallman. All right, while we're talking about great names, great brands, obviously, True Green is one of them. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been that trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners, including me, for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com, that's TrueGreen.com today, and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
So last night, we went to the association, and we had the Boston Celtics laying 5.5, and Jason Tatum going over 23.5 points. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, let's go. JT had 24 points. It was by the skin of our teeth that we got that one, but it paid out. We got some money on that. So we're going back to the association tonight. And, of course, we're going to roll with the defending reigning champions, the Denver Nuggets. They're taking on the LA Clippers. The Clippers, they ain't clipping. So whether Kawhi Leonard plays or not, I still like the Nuggets on the money line. And I am going to take Nikola Jokic, combined points and rebounds, over 41.5. So the Nuggets on the money line, Jokic on combined points and rebounds, over 41.5. That pays out at plus 173. Get your money, man.
We survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, guys, we got a few good ones today. First of all, there was a hockey game last night between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, was that a game?
Was that a hockey game?
There was a game?
I thought it was a fight.
Well, I'm getting there. The moment the puck was dropped, it was an absolute brawl. hockey is a fascinating sport on so many levels that they actually just allow this to happen. We're showing it now on ESPNU. The ref drops the puck. Everybody then drops their hockey sticks and gloves and just starts fighting immediately.
Gloves are off.
It's unbelievable that this is, and like it's part of the sport every which way. Can you imagine this in other sports? It's so ridiculous, and it's so fun to watch as a result.
Yeah, and of course it was going to be Rempe who was involved in the last fight to
end.
You
like him, and I can't stand him.
Oh, I love him.
I guess that's the best part about his game. He's so polarizing.
Totally.
He's always going to give us something to talk about by getting involved in these scrums, these fights all the time, and cheap-shotting guys. Like, he's the type of player, you love him if he's on your team. You hate it if he's on the opposing team.
Absolutely, which are guys I love. I want those guys on my team, those sandpaper guys, as we call them.
Yeah, the Draymond Greens of the world.
Well, let's keep it to us. You love Draymond until he crosses the line, yeah. Right? But there is something, I think, to having a little porcupine in the clubhouse or the dressing
prickly,
room.
A little prickly.
No, but when I went to a Rangers game and I saw Rempe in real life, He's a monster. He is an absolute monster on the ice. Huge.
Is he the new Zdeno Chara? Like, is he like in terms of the stature, just a freak of nature?
Yeah. I mean, there are similarities there for sure.
I mean, these guys are absolutely huge.
Matt Rempe, 6'7", 241 pound center for the Rangers. Just an enormous person. That's basically you. CeCe.
He's you on skates.
Yeah. He's you on skates.
Minus 100 pounds, but yeah.
Yeah, minus 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. My bad. All right. Anyway. Okay. So that was fascinating last night. Next one. I don't even know if this one's real, but it was going around the internet, and it's so believable that it could be real that we're going to do it. Jimmy Butler was riding a horse around Miami in the streets yesterday. Let me say that again. Jimmy Butler was riding a horse in the streets of Miami yesterday wearing a tank top, kind of like track pants, and a cowboy hat on a horse crossing the street in Miami.
The vibes are high. I love this.
Florida man.
Florida man.
Florida man riding a horse crossing the street. Nobody would bat an eyelash.
I thought Malachi Flynn coming off the bench scoring 50 points for Jovante's Pistons last night was the most interesting, weird NBA thing. Nope. That guy averaged 5.2 points per game going in. It was Jimmy Butler riding a horse.
Imagine if you're sitting there in Miami in your car, you're listening to ESPN radio, and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh, a guy on a horse crossing the street? Bizarre. Wait, is that Jimmy Butler?
Is that Jimmy Butler?
Is that Jimmy Butler?
Have you guys ever actually ridden a horse before?
Of course.
Yes.
All of you have ridden a horse?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
None of us have. That's why I was curious.
What? None of you guys have ridden a horse?
No.
Here's
the thing.
Camp or something?
I haven't rode a horse as
camp.
A grown man.
Like, oh, really?
I only did it when I was a little kid. Well, I mean, listen, I'm 6'8", 350 pounds. You think the horse wants me on his back? Hell no. Like, this is me having empathy for the horse. I'm not going to get my big ass up there on the horse. Why would I want to do that? I ain't going to make the horse mad.
It's a hell of a horse.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that horse would have to be a tank.
That's doing
so
way
CeCe
too
wants
much,
credit.
Man.
Way he wants
much.
Animal rights credits for not actually getting on a horse.
Exactly.
That PETA should be thanking him for not
this
getting on a
horse.
This
is me having empathy for the horse.
That's smart. No, I've ridden a horse as a kid. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. And as an adult, when I was in Montana once, I rode a horse up a mountain to have lunch there and then rode the horse down. It's a very intense thing because these are such powerful and majestic creatures.
Yeah.
But you also realize once you're on the horse, and obviously I have no skills in horse riding, that this horse could take off.
Yeah.
You're at its mercy riding a horse.
Why did you ride a horse up a mountain just to eat lunch?
It was part of a birthday deal. It was my birthday.
Okay.
It's called
YOLO.
Bougie. anyway, last one here. Two of the biggest stars at ESPN, Stephen A. Smith. And Greeny, right? I don't think anybody's going to argue that. Never have they been mistaken for one another. Yet Greeny told a story on Greeny, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, that maybe he tried to get mistaken for one Stephen A. Smith.
Generally speaking, the solution for that is just vocal rest. You need just some vocal rest. And I said, well, unfortunately, that's really not an option for me. I'm a broadcaster. And so she says, oh, where do you work? And I said, I work at ESPN. And she said, oh, my goodness, my husband loves ESPN. I don't watch any sports at all, but my husband loves ESPN. Would he know you? And I said, he might. I said, I host the show that's on in the mornings. She said, oh, okay, that's so exciting. She was very excited by this. And then she left the room. So now I'm still sitting there, Bubba and Cam, and I'm waiting for the doctor to come in. And the door opens again about 90 seconds later, and it's the same woman. And she says to me, I just called my husband. Are you Stephen A. Smith? And I don't know what came over me, but I said, yes, I am.
All right, that what would you guys do in that spot? If somebody said, are you Stephen A. Smith, what would you do in that spot?
I'm definitely saying yes.
I'm owning that.
Well, that would
I'm
be weird that. If they
I'm
said
owning
that,
that.
To you.
I'm owning that.
So you would just say yes.
That's hilarious that his first instinct would be to say yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. I'm Stephen A. Smith. I am the person that you were seeking. Yes.
I love that she probably went back and told her husband, it's him. It's Stephen A. Smith.
And then they put on the TV the next day and she points at Greeny. I met that guy, Stephen A. Totally. Honey, that ain't Stephen A. There's something off with Greeny and Hembo on getting recognized. Hembo got recognized recently and the person said to him, are you Hembo from Greeny? And he said, no. To which I said to him, you're not that big of a celebrity where you turn somebody down in that spot. You say yes. You want to get recognized. And now Greeny is telling people he's Stephen A. Something's weird with that show. Comes up next, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. Plus, you'll see CeCe on Rogers all day today, all over ESPN. Tune on ESPN at any point. CeCe v. Rogers. Greeny up next. We're on to Friday on Sportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.